Hello, Stuart here. It's now the fifth week we'll be doing these sermons online. So I'm back here with Jodie and we've still got Casper the dog. So without further ado, Jodie's going to do the reading, which is from John 20, verses 19 to 31.
This is a reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you will take these words of scripture and the words I share, and you would blow through them in the power of your Holy Spirit and speak to and minister to the people who are listening online as they access the recording. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This sermon's entitled "Peace Behind Locked Doors" or "Peace During the Lock-In." Sometimes familiar stories take on an added resonance due to the circumstances we find ourselves in. And this story, this episode in the life of the early church, speaks right into our circumstances that we find ourselves in now as we confront the crisis of the COVID-19 virus. As most of us are locked behind closed doors like those first disciples. Some of us are still going to work in our offices, keeping socially distanced, but we also think of shop workers in supermarkets and other places, or NHS workers or carers who still have to carry on their work in these difficult and dangerous circumstances. But the majority of us are perhaps at home in this time. We are now on the second Sunday of Easter, and we need to remember that Easter is a season and goes all the way up to Pentecost. In fact, it's longer than Lent. Lent's 40 days, Pentecost is 50 days, and it's a time of celebration when we'll be reflecting on what the resurrection means for us. And the reading that we have in the lectionary reading for this Sunday fits like a glove and speaks into our circumstances. At the beginning in verse 19, we see that the disciples are behind locked doors. It says the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. They're afraid. They're scared of being arrested and killed by the Jewish and Roman authorities like Jesus was. They've heard the good news from Mary Magdalene that Jesus has been raised from the dead, but they're still behind locked doors, still cowering at the threat of being arrested. We don't face that type of threat, although many around the world do. And we remember this time our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in prison for their faith. We think of those who are in prison camps in North Korea or those in Islamic countries who are in prison for their faithfulness to Christ. And think about them. How can they socially distance at this time in the threat of the COVID-19 virus? So we remember them and we pray for them. But like the disciples, we also are afraid, and we are behind locked doors of fear, fear of infection, fear of what will happen to our loved ones, especially those who are most vulnerable or old or isolated at this time. We're also fearful about our future, fearful about our finances, how we're going to pay the bills, will we get the grants and the loans that we need from the government? And how is this going to affect our economy in the coming weeks and months and years? There's all sorts of fears and anxieties as we project into the future, a future that we can't control and that looks scary at times. And Jesus comes to the disciples. He comes to them in the midst of their fears. And he stands amongst them. He travels through those locked doors. The risen Christ can travel through locked doors. And he says to them, peace, shalom, which it was a standard Middle Eastern greeting. And it still is today. But much more than that, the peace that Jesus offers is a peace that he talked to them before about. In John 14, verse 27, he says to them, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So the peace that Jesus comes to bring them is a peace in the midst of their fears, of their anxieties, of their worries. It's a peace that anchors them in a place deep within themselves, beyond the circumstances in which they find themselves. Peace in the midst of the storms that they face. And he offers us that same peace in the midst of our storms. And oh, how do we need that peace at the moment? But how do we get that peace from Jesus? We need to spend time in his presence. We need to spend time in silence, meditating, in prayer, where we open ourselves up to God, that he can give us the gift of peace. And at these times, we need to turn to God more in prayer, to spend time meditating in his presence. And if we don't know how to pray, ask for help. You can ask me for some advice on prayer or look online. But we can find peace in the midst of the ordinary, simple things of our lives at the moment. And I find that God's been giving me his peace through ordinary little things. Going out, walking with the dog, throwing the ball to the dog, sitting on a bench in Crow Fields in the village, looking at the trees that are blossoming at this time, and just breathing in and breathing out in God's presence and being grateful for the gift of life. Or small things can give me great joy. I think of it this week in the garden, seeing a jay and a song thrush, birds that aren't that common. And it gives me thanks and praise that God's creation is breathing a sigh of relief when the pollution is less, when human activity is less. And that's perhaps one of the silver linings in the clouds that we face at the moment. But Jesus is with us. He comes through our locked doors now into our homes. and offers us his peace. But we have to open ourselves to him and to receive his peace. And once Jesus greets them with shalom, with peace, and offers them his peace, he shows them his wounds. In verse 20, it says, after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. He shows his hands, because his hands would have been pierced, perhaps at the wrists or maybe in the hands. And his side was pierced with the spear that went into his side. Probably his feet weren't pierced, because they used to tie feet on the cross at crucifixion. So he shows them his wounds. So it's the same Jesus. The crucified one is the risen one. He still has his wounds. And he comes to them as the forgiving victim with his wounds. There's no condemnation. There's no judgment or vengeance or saying, why did you run away? Why did you abandon me? He doesn't come to tell them off or to wag his finger at them. He comes to them to offer them peace. Peace with God, peace with him. And the forgiving victim always comes and offers us peace. Jesus offers every human being peace. The forgiving victim always comes to us offering peace and forgiveness. But it's up to us to receive that gift of peace and forgiveness. In verse 21, Jesus says peace again. He repeats it because the disciples were a bit thick, a bit slow to understand. And we are very much like those disciples. And repetition is to drive the point home. He says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So there's a repetition of the peace and there's a commission, a sending. Now, that might be difficult at the moment, present circumstances, but we can still be sent, even if we can't do that physically. We can still share the message, even from our own homes, when we have conversations with our family and friends and our loved ones. We can share with them at a deep level about what our faith means in these circumstances. And as I said before, I find it a real blessing that people, family and friends of mine, are listening to this recorded message throughout the world. I had someone even in Canada last week who said they were listening to me. So you have a wider audience there, an opportunity to share the good news of peace and forgiveness, which is available to us all in and through Christ and what he has done for each one of us. And we need boldness to share our faith at this time. I've listened to a few of the talks from the Spring Harvest at home, because last week would have been Spring Harvest and they obviously weren't able to have that in Butlins like they normally do. So they posted a lot of the content online, and I watched one seminar in boldness, about boldness, and challenging myself about how to be more bold in sharing my faith and praying and being open with other people about all that God means to me and all that God has done for me in and through Jesus. And although we can't go out and share our faith in the same ways as we usually can, sometime in the future we will be able to go out again, even if we have to keep a distance for a while, and we will be sent out to share that message. But even now we're sent out. We're sent out through the airwaves, sent out online, sent out in telephones and text messaging and social media in ways that we can communicate with each other and Zoom with each other or whatever that may be. And then we see that Jesus breathes upon them with the Holy Spirit. In verse 22, it says, and he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And this has echoes of that first creation story in Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, where it says, then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. So in that first creation, God breathes into human beings the gift of life. And in this new creation, with the resurrection, that Jesus breathed his Holy Spirit into his disciples to give them new life, to fill them with his life. And we likewise need the empowerment, the filling of the Holy Spirit, that we can be sent out to be part of God's mission, sharing his forgiveness with all people and working for that to become a reality for the whole of his creation. And then Jesus announces forgiveness, and he says in verse 23, he says, "If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Doesn't mean that human beings have the power to give or to refuse forgiveness. What it means is that we have the authority to announce God's forgiveness to all people. God has already forgiven everyone, but we have to receive that forgiveness for ourselves. And we have to appropriate that forgiveness which is there for us. If we don't receive that forgiveness, then it doesn't have the opportunity to work in our lives and to transform us. But that forgiveness is to be sent out to all nations, to all people. Whether people receive that forgiveness is not within our power or control, but we have the opportunity to share that forgiveness with all people because of what Christ has done for all humanity in and through his cross and resurrection. And then we come to the disciple Thomas, a much maligned character. But I really have a fondness for Thomas. I like his honesty and his frankness, and we can learn a lot from him. And Thomas here stands in for us. It says Thomas the twin. Thomas is our twin. We weren't there either. Thomas is like a representative figure for each one of us who wasn't there at the appearance of Jesus at that time. And he doesn't believe. He says, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And who can blame him? All the other disciples have had an experience of the risen Jesus, but he wasn't there. Perhaps he was away by himself, grieving by himself the loss of his teacher. He was away, distraught, despairing, depressed. And we see that a week later, in verse 26, it says, "A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them, though the doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.'" So a week later from Easter, that's exactly today, a week on from Easter. Easter Sunday was last Sunday, so a week on. So it fits perfectly into our chronological timing today. And Thomas is there this time, although the doors were locked. Jesus comes again and he gives them his peace a third time. Notice the repetition, three times of peace, because he's making a point, not just a greeting, but offering us his shalom, his wholeness, his salvation in a holistic way in all aspects of our life, here and now and on into eternity. And he comes back as if he's coming back especially for Thomas. And he directs himself to Thomas in verse 27. "Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe.'" It's almost like he said to Thomas, "Okay then, stick your hands in my wounds, in my hands and in my side. Go on, poke in and see that it is really me." Jesus says this to Thomas. Thomas doesn't need to do that. Thomas just responds to him, and I think Thomas probably fell to his knees and says, "My Lord and my God." Now, this is the highest confession of faith that we receive in this Gospel of John, higher even than Peter, who says Jesus is the Messiah. Here he is saying, "My Lord and my God." He is recognizing that in Jesus, God himself is present and that God has become incarnate in Christ and has risen in Christ. There isn't a higher confession of faith in all of the Gospels. And then we have a verse which is directed to us who come after Thomas and the first disciples, where Jesus says, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed." That's us. This blessing is for us. We're included in that blessing. We have not seen Jesus in the flesh risen. The only way we experience Jesus is through his Holy Spirit present in our lives. I say only, but that's a good way to experience him and a full way to experience him. But we are blessed. Even though we haven't seen with our eyes that Jesus has risen, we believe, those of us that do, and we receive a blessing from Jesus himself. So in conclusion, Jesus comes to offer us his peace. He doesn't come with condemnation. He doesn't come to tell us off. He comes to offer us his peace. Peace with God through what he has done for us. And he comes to offer us his forgiveness. He comes as the forgiving victim with his wounds and opens his arms to us and offers us his forgiveness if we would receive it. God is always a forgiving God towards us, but we need to receive his forgiveness for himself. And he comes to offer us his very life. He comes to breathe the Holy Spirit into us, that we may receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathes upon us like he breathed upon the early church at Pentecost. He breathes upon us and says, "Come and receive my life." So my question for you is, have you received these gifts for yourselves? Have you received peace with God through Christ? Have you received his forgiveness? Have you received his Holy Spirit? God is not limited by time or space. In Christ, he comes to us behind our locked doors into our homes and offers us his peace, his forgiveness, his Holy Spirit. All we have to do is to receive them. And even if we have received them, we need to be refilled with his peace, with his forgiveness, with his Holy Spirit. We need a fresh filling of these gifts that we can face the uncertainties and the struggles that we face at this time of anxiety and fear. And as the first disciples were empowered to be bold to share their faith, we likewise can be empowered to be bold and share our faith and all that Jesus has done for them and for us. So do you need to receive these gifts? If for the first time or as a refilling? If so, pray with me. Let us pray. Father God, fill us with the peace that Jesus offers, your shalom. May that peace bear fruit in our lives here and now, in the circumstances we find ourselves, and give us peace that we will enjoy that into eternity. Father, we thank you for the forgiveness which you offer to all humanity in and through Christ, his death on the cross and his resurrection. We receive that forgiveness into our lives that wipes away all the sin and guilt of our past. As Jesus appeared to the first disciples and breathed upon them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," Father, we pray that you will breathe upon us. Breathe upon us your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your life. Fill us with your peace. Fill us with your forgiveness. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. So come, Holy Spirit, breathe upon us now as we listen to this message in our homes. Come, Holy Spirit, breathe your new life into us. Breathe your peace into us. Breathe your forgiveness into us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.